Welcome to the return of the Primal Endurance Podcast. This is your host, Brad Kearns, and we are going on a journey to a kinder, gentler, smarter, more fun, more effective way to train for ambitious endurance goals. Visit primalendurance.fit to join the community and enroll in our free video course. Now, as I elevate the sophistication of my high-intensity training and my track and field goals, I require more downtime and more rest, such that... Greetings, my fitness-minded listeners. I want to acquaint you with the Primal Fitness Expert Certification Program, the most comprehensive home study multimedia fitness education course in the world. If you want to enhance your personal knowledge of all aspects of leading a healthy, active, fit lifestyle, this total immersion course will be life-changing. I'm the lead instructor and author of the course, and we have 14 chapters of extensive written content with over 100 accompanying videos covering topics such as general everyday movement, including micro workouts and dynamic workstation tips, the full experience of gym-based strength training and all the different modalities, a complete presentation on all aspects of sprinting, both running and low impact options, an assortment of high-intensity interval training and high-intensity repeat training strategies, a detailed education on the principles and practical application of aerobic endurance training, and extensive commentary, the most you will find in any publication, on all aspects and symptoms of overtraining and burnout. We even have fascinating peripheral topics like integrating nasal diaphragmatic breathing, dynamic stretching, injury prevention, and developing a peak performance mindset. It's really something, this course. We went all out for over 2 years with a great team to develop this amazing home-based fitness education for you. And you get one-on-one expert email support and private Facebook group connection throughout your studies to ensure that you absorb everything optimally and you pass your series of exams and get certified. So go to primalhealthcoach.com/Brad to enjoy a very special limited time. And I'm not kidding. This is a big time discount just for you. 25% off your tuition. A fantastic premium offer at primalhealthcoach.com/Brad for the most comprehensive fitness course you can ever find.
Hey, let's talk about what easy workouts and rest days really mean for us mere mortals trying to improve our performance, not only in endurance sports, but in all manner of athletic endeavors. I want to talk about the great Eliud Kipchoge and some stunning revelations that have come forth from detailed analysis of his training logs that he has published for all to scrutinize. And the exercise physiologists and the coaches have reveled in this fantastic information about how the greatest marathoner of all time trains in tremendous detail. So they're breaking down his percentage of maximum heart rate and calculating all these things based on his race performance time so that all of us can learn the proper way to develop aerobic conditioning base and peak performance in the endurance events. So with the insights calculated from Kipchoge's detailed, meticulous training logs from the guy who runs a marathon in an hour and 59 minutes, check this out. He trains 82 to 84% of his total workout hours are conducted at what is considered an easy or light intensity. 82 to 84% of the time, he's taking it easy. 9 to 10% of his training load is at moderate intensity, and only 7 to 8% at high intensity. The vast majority of Kipchoge's training is performed at 4 to 5 minutes per kilometer pace. That's 626 to 803 pace per mile. Now, 626 to 803 is pretty crispy. So if you saw him jogging in Central Park the day before the New York City Marathon, you'd say, there goes one of the greatest endurance athletes of all time, the incredible Kipchoge from Kenya. And look how fast he's running. Wow, what an amazing athlete. But we have to understand the relativity of this training pace, where to him, it's extremely easy. this 626 to 803 pace per mile is 29 to 43% slower than his world record marathon race pace. When he ran that 159, his average pace was 434 per mile. Absolutely mind-blowing. And if you have no reference point, head out to your nearest local high school running track, 400 meters, and try to run a single lap or even a half a lap at 434 per mile pace. That's 68.5 seconds for 400 meters. It is a dead sprint for 99% of the runners out there in the world. You just can't even fathom how someone can keep going for 26 miles at 434 pace. But when he's training vastly slower than that, that's how he is improving his aerobic conditioning without those stress mechanisms getting overtaxed. Kipchoge describes his big picture training philosophy accordingly. I perform at 80% capacity on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, and then at 50% capacity Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. He's very consistent with his training patterns. He logs between 124 and 136 miles each week, week in, week out. He doesn't even taper that much prior to major competitions. He's just a machine out there working his body, with the vast majority being a comfortable pace, between 50% and 80% capacity. But 80% capacity, you can go out there and calculate how that feels with your own training. It's not that difficult, but it's cruising along. 50% is really, really taking it easy. So let's kind of extrapolate this for us mere mortals. And here's the mind-blowing insight. You might not like hearing this, but again, we're referencing the greatest athlete in the world, and we're using these insights to help optimize our own training. Unless you're super fit, you probably shouldn't be running very much. Instead, you should be walking. Here's this. The average marathon finishing pace across the world in recent years, when they measured this for, I think, 2 million marathon finishers, the average marathoner finishes today in 4 hours and 30 minutes. Pretty respectable time. That's an average pace of 10 minutes and 22 seconds per mile for the marathon. So if you want to be like Kipchoge and run 43% slower than your marathon race pace, remember, he's performing 82 to 84% of his total workout volume at comfortable pace, and 4 days a week. As he said, he's performing at 50% capacity on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. So 4 days of the week, he is running somewhere around 43% slower than his marathon race pace. So let's take the average marathoner running a 10:22 per mile when they're doing an all-out performance, the fastest marathon they can do, and we're going to calculate 43% slower than that. If you're following along with a pad and paper, here we go. You're going to figure out how many seconds 10 minutes 22 is. So that's 10 times 60 is 600. It's 622 seconds per mile. What's 43% slower than that? You go 622 times 1.43. That equals 889 seconds per mile divided by 60, and we have 14.8 minutes per mile. To be accurate, 0.82 times 60 seconds is 49 seconds. So what we have for the average marathon runner, and again, someone who finishes a marathon, pretty fit specimen, vastly fitter than someone who just does jogging and doesn't go more than 3 or 4 or 5 miles. So we're talking about the vast majority of recreational runners that we see in the parks and on the trails and on the treadmills of America and across the world. Let's say they're maybe can do a 10:22 marathon, but probably not, maybe slower than that. But for the average marathon finisher, their training pace for a huge chunk of their mileage is 14 minutes and 49 seconds per mile. Now we will go to the exercise physiology labs and the gait analysis that has been performed. These studies reveal that the human gait transitions from walking to jogging when you go faster than 4.3 miles per hour, which is a 13:57 minute pace per mile. So if you are going slower than 14-minute miles, you have switched from a jog to a walk. So you are instructed, if you want to honor Kipchoge and the great work of the coaches and trainers and Dr. Seiler, what you're trying to do here is condition your body appropriately, minimizing the stress impact of the overall training program by walking for a huge chunk of your weekly running mileage. Let me quote Seiler again. Quote, what we are trying to achieve is a polarization of the stress of the daily training sessions. Kipchoge is going 4 days a week at 50% capacity. And so at a bare minimum, the average marathon runner should be walking 4 days a week, and maybe on those other 3 days, very carefully monitoring their heart rate so they do not exceed fat max pace. And in fact, your marathon race pace is calculated by Maffetone to be around 15 seconds per mile faster than your fat max pace. So the average marathoner, the average 4:30 marathoner running 10:22, add 15 seconds to that, 10:37 is their approximate fat max pace for a 1 mile test, meaning if they're going to go out for 3 or 4 or 5 or 8 miles on their typical training session, they're going to be running quite a bit slower than 10:37 because they have more miles to do. So they're going to be doing the vast majority of their running at 11 minutes per mile or slower, and then probably half of that or more in a walking pace of slower than 14 minutes. In fact, 14 minutes and 49 seconds. Now, if you're not a strictly endurance athlete and you're just trying to train for more disparate goals, such as a CrossFit or an overall hybrid athlete, or like me, training for track and field events that are high intensity and involve entirely different training parameters, you still want to honor this concept of polarizing your stress and rest overall in general life. So, of course, we are going to sleep every night, the ultimate example of polarization of the 24-hour cycle, where we're going to be up and about, up in a boat for, in my case, I would say 16 hours awake and 8 hours asleep, but I'm more like 9 hours asleep. So I got my 15 hours to do what I'm going to do and then sleep every night. But also, it's important to have periods of time where you are resting from the training load. And the harder you train, the more you desperately need off time and downtime from all forms of training stress. And the more explosive your training, the more it warrants recovery time. Because in my case, my goals are anaerobic in nature. My main goal is high jump and 400 meters. So my events last from a minute or down to 4 seconds in the case of the high jump. So what I need is appropriately conducted workouts that are within my capacity, and then lots of downtime to rest the organism from the explosive efforts that I delivered when I took 15 or 20 high jump approaches or did interval workouts to prepare for sprinting track and field. And this is requiring a change in mentality into my thick skull, because I still harbor this endurance mentality from my past, where I feel like every day is an opportunity to go out there and put in more training and build and build and build. But I'm being very careful on my off days and easy days to even reduce the stress load further than it has been historically. And I boasted and crowed about how I had a streak of 6 years going where I did my quite ambitious morning exercise routine that lasted for about 40 minutes. I have the entire online course at bradkearns.com where you can learn how to custom design your own morning exercise routine. And this worked really well for me to just build up my overall fitness capacity, flexibility, mobility by routinely and committing to this morning regimen every day to get some exercise. But now, as I elevate the sophistication of my high-intensity training and my track and field goals, I require more downtime and more rest, such that I have deliberately broken my streak and traded it for more purposeful exercise sessions, either a devoted high-intensity focused track training session or something that's even easier and lower stress than the morning routine baseline. So that might be a really, really easy aerobic pedaling session on the bike where I'm fond of grabbing the phone and filming some reels for Instagram. So a lot of times you see me talking on Instagram while I'm biking along at 10 miles an hour or something ridiculously slow. So I consider that a rest day because the stress load is so low. But my pal and someone I'm taking a lot of coaching advice from lately, Cynthia Monteleone, Metabolic Analytics Maui. She's a world champion in Masters Track and Field, so she knows what she's talking about. She won the Worlds in the 400 meters, my favorite event, in the female 45 division, running a 57, faster than she did as a collegiate athlete decades prior. And she's also a coach to numerous Olympic-level athletes and world champion-level Masters athletes. And she's urging me to take 3 days off per week. And when she says off, she means off. And I'm like, off? You mean like an easy aerobic bike ride? And she goes, no, I mean resting those tendons by doing nothing, not even stretching, getting in the cold tub, things of that nature, but just detraining and not exercising. And it's a hard concept for me to grasp, but it makes a lot of sense. The harder you train, the more you warrant that time off. And we're talking about the NBA athletes with their grueling schedule. They are no longer going out and having a hard practice session in between their many games. What they're doing is watching film and doing walkthroughs and things that are not stressful because they desperately require time off the court to manage the incredible load of making it through 82-game NBA season. So I'm not telling most people that they need to do nothing all day long because most of us spend too much time in sedentary position, and walking and moving is going to be an excellent foundation for aerobic conditioning for all your athletic goals, even if you have high-intensity peak performance goals. So we need to strive to increase general everyday movement, but serious athletes need to really focus on polarizing the stress of their daily training sessions. So I'm a work in progress. I'm trading my baseline foundation of the morning exercise routine for some really, really easy days. And then in return, also for continuing to escalate the degree of difficulty and improve my performances when I'm pushing my body hard. Thanks for listening, watching. Let me know what you think about easy days, off days, and kind of balancing that concept of consistency every day with the concept of making sure that you get enough rest and recovery. Hey ladies, you may have heard me talk about Gainswave treatment for improving male penile vascular health and sexual function, and maybe you thought, hey, what about my needs? Well, Gainswave has got you covered with a revolutionary new treatment protocol called Gainswave for Her. As with the male Gainswave treatment, a skilled practitioner uses a handheld device to send low-intensity shock waves into your vaginal area to stimulate a healing response, promote increased blood circulation, and the growth of new blood vessels. After a series of 6 to 12 very brief treatments, which are painless but extremely effective, you get real results with Gainswave reporting an 80% success rate. Some benefits. You will revitalize your intimate relationships with heightened sensation and arousal and enhanced pleasure and satisfaction. Don't contemplate invasive procedures or uncomfortable medical treatments. Regain confidence and reclaim your sexuality with Gainswave for Her. You visit the website gainswave.com, GAINSWAVE.com/Brad, to find a practitioner in your area. You complete a series of treatments, and the beneficial effects will last for a long time, especially if you eat and exercise well to promote overall vascular health. It's a tune-up for your equipment, so please visit gainswave.com/Brad to find a practitioner in your area and take advantage of my special promo that you'll mention when you find your local practitioner. Buy 6 treatments and get one free. I hope you enjoyed this episode and encourage you to check out the Primal Endurance Mastery course at primalendurance.fit. This is the ultimate online educational experience where you can learn from the world's great coaches and trainers,
diet, peak performance, and recovery experts, as well as lengthy one-on-one interviews from several of the greatest endurance athletes of all time, not published anywhere else. It's a major educational experience with hundreds of videos, but you can get free access to a mini course with an ebook summary of the Primal Endurance Approach and 9 step-by-step videos on how to become a Primal Endurance athlete. This mini course will help you develop a strong basic understanding of this all-encompassing approach to endurance training that includes primal aligned eating to escape carbohydrate dependency and enhance fat metabolism, building an aerobic base with comfortably paced workouts, strategically introducing high-intensity strength and sprint workouts, emphasizing rest recovery and annual periodization, and finally cultivating an intuitive approach to training instead of the usual robotic approach of fixed weekly workout schedules. Just head over to primalendurance.fit and learn all about the course and how we can help you go faster and preserve your health while you're at it.